Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
So this past week, we had our national elections. Maybe for some of you, you stayed up late to watch the results roll in. Maybe your feed was full of opinions, of debates, of declarations of either victory or despair. For some of us, maybe our candidates won, and so we breathed a sigh of relief. For others of us, the loss was painful, and we've been wondering what it means for the next few years. You know, elections have a way of magnifying our emotions, doesn't it? They make us feel like, you know, everything hinges on this moment, this particular person, this particular government position, this particular outcome, right? And it's hard not to get caught up in it. And, you know, we should care, right? As Christians, we should engage thoughtfully in public life. But here's what I want to say clearly today, okay? Is that God's kingdom is not on the ballot. It never has been, it never will be. The true king was not elected, he was enthroned before the foundation of the world. So here we see in Mark 4, Jesus gives us a picture of that kingdom. And it's not what we expect, actually. He doesn't describe a campaign, he doesn't point out to a throne or to a political movement or to an economic power. Jesus talks about seeds. Verse 26, he says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." That's it, right? Man with a seed. Very simple parable. And yet, what does he do? Jesus here invites us to actually stop placing our hope in the systems of this world and to start seeing the quiet and steady work of God breaking into it. Because here's the thing, while the headlines might be focusing on the power struggles of men, the real revolution is really starting out in the soil. While kingdoms rise and fall in public, God's kingdom grows in secret. So here's what I want us to understand. This is the theme of our passage for today. And it's that the word is the seed and the kingdom is the result. And because of that, our job is really to be simply to be faithful with the seed and to trust the outcome to God. In fact, in verse 26, Jesus result. And because of that, our job is really to be simply to be faithful with the seed and to trust the outcome. Jesus begins, right? It's as if a man. So notice his reference to the kingdom of God, right? He's telling us the kingdom of God is like a seed. Not a grand power, not of immediate victory. It's a seed that's planted on the ground, very small, humble, with the potential to grow beyond anything we can imagine. And then in verse 30, he uses another image of the kingdom. He says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed." Again, a seed. Well, mustard seed starts small, right? It eventually grows into something large and welcoming. And so this second reference of the kingdom of God shows us that while the kingdom might begin small, it can grow. It can spread in ways that we cannot predict. Now, what's very crucial, of course, for us to understand here is what the seed means. Because, you know, Jesus talks about the kingdom, he talks about the seed. What is the seed? It is the word of God, right? If you've been here for the last two Sundays, you know that the seed is the word of God. If you look back to the parable of the sower, we have to understand this section that Jesus gives to us is a series of parables. And from the parable of the sower in chapter 4, verse 14, earlier, he talks about the sower who sows or plants the word, Okay, and in that parable, he's talking about the sower who throws the seeds, and the seed is the word. And that the seed represents the word of God, the message of the gospel, the kingdom of God that is breaking through into our lives. So when Jesus speaks about scattering seed into these two parables that we're looking at today, he's referring to the word of God being sown into the world, into our hearts, into the lives of people. And though we often don't see the word growing, producing fruit, actually, something is happening. The word is the seed, the kingdom is the result. And that actually changes everything that we should think about when it comes to spiritual growth and impact. Because that means that you and I don't have to rush. We don't have to force it. The growth of the kingdom does not depend on us. Our role is simply to scatter the seed. Sow and plant the word and trust that God will bring about the results in his own time. In fact, what I just said to you is basically the sermon for this afternoon. You can leave now. I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's basically it. Jesus is telling us what we need to do is plant the seed and God will take care of the rest. Now, in a world that's obsessed with speed and control, this is a powerful reminder for us that the kingdom of God does not operate based on our own timetables. It operates based on the timetable of God. The word of God, when planted, it will grow. It can change hearts. It can change the lives of men, even entire communities, often in ways that we cannot see. So here's what we're going to do this afternoon. We're going to look at three things that Jesus wants us to understand about the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God grows, okay? And by that, it's also telling us what we should do. So here's the first thing, no? Jesus tells us that when it comes to the kingdom of God, you and I must plant the word even when it is small. We must plant the seed even when it's insignificant. Verse 26. It says, "And the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Now, that might sound really simple, but I want you to think about this. Imagine for a moment how that would have sounded to the original audience. Remember, Jesus has become very popular. A lot of people are coming to him. He's, you know, doing miracles, he's preaching, and he's teaching in parables, right? And so he comes to this particular situation, and he shares this parable to the people. I want you to remember this, that for the people at that time, the kingdom of God was their hope. This was their dream. This was their longing. They were carrying the yoke of the Romans, right? The Romans were very heavy on them. They were being taxed. There was so much unfair treatment on them. They had prayed for centuries that God would come, that God would send his Messiah and establish his rule. In fact, we know from the Old Testament that the people, that God himself had promised them a Messiah. And so here the people were looking forward. They were longing for the kingdom of God. So here comes Jesus into the scene, right? He's, performing all of these miracles. He's preaching so powerfully. Everybody's thinking, maybe this is the Messiah. He's about to usher the kingdom of God, right? And here Jesus begins to tell them what it's like when the kingdom of God finally breaks in. So I can imagine everybody's all ears, di ba? And what does he say? The kingdom of God is like fire from heaven, a divine warrior with a sword. No. He says what? It's like someone scattering a seed. I mean, so underwhelming, right? So ordinary. Unless, of course, you know what a seed can do. Because a seed holds the power inside it that only time and soil can reveal. And the whole tree inside that seed is inside that little shell of the seed, right? But what's, of course, even more important is the image and the identity of the seed. As we have said earlier, Jesus already tells us that this seed is the word of God, and that is the key. So when Jesus says to the people at that time that the kingdom of God is like scattering seed, he is saying the kingdom of God begins when the word is planted. And this is, of course, essential for us to understand what Jesus is teaching. The word is the seed, right? It has to be planted. And probably the people at that time were perplexed. Maybe they're surprised. And maybe even us, if you think about it, right? Because when you think about God's kingdom, you think about something that's going to be flashy, something that's powerful, something that comes in, you know, with something that's mesmerizing, right? But this is, Jesus is telling us something about the kingdom today. He's telling us this is how God works. It's not through coercion, not through a spectacle, but through the quiet and hidden power of his word entering into the human lives. The seed is the word, and of course the soil is the heart that receives the word. And wherever God's word is shared, wherever it's preached, wherever it's spoken, whenever it's read, whenever it's remembered, it's like that seed is being scattered and planted in the heart of a person. But just think about seeds for a minute, right? Today I brought with me mustard seeds. Okay, it's actually in this bottle. But we got it from Israel when we went to Israel a few years ago. But I want you to see this, if you can, right? A mustard seed is a very tiny seed. Jesus talks about this in the second parable today, right? Now, you can barely see it. If I drop it right now, you're going to have a hard time looking for it in the carpet. It seems insignificant. It's powerless. But hidden in that little speck of a seed is a future. If it's planted, if it's nourished, if it's left to do what seeds were made to do, it becomes something entirely different. Roots will grow, branches, shade, fruit, birds will be nesting on it. Jesus is going to talk about that in the second parable. But for now, he wants us to stop and consider the simplicity of the start. What Jesus is saying is that's how the whole thing begins. If you're thinking about the kingdom of God, it begins not with a throne, it begins with a truth. The kingdom of God does not start with a sword, but with a sentence, maybe a line of scripture, maybe a whisper of gospel hope. The kingdom of God begins with a seed. That's how it begins. That's how it enters the world through the faithful scattering of the word. Not by human genius, not by clever programs or perfect speeches or massive platforms. Just one person, you know, putting the word of God into somebody else's life, planting the truth and trusting in the process. And sometimes, of course, we won't see immediate results. Sometimes we think nothing is happening, but that does not mean that the word is not working. Let me give you an example of somebody from history that, you know, honestly, whenever I remember his story, I'm always moved by it. In the early 1500s, there was this young man named William Tyndale. And William Tyndale's vision was to translate the Bible into everyday English. So every person, for him, he wants every farmer, every child, every housemaid, they could read the Word of God for themselves. But during his time, this was totally illegal. The Roman Church at that time believed that only clergy should have access to the Scriptures. But Tyndale would not have it. He once actually even talked to a priest and says, you know, if God is going to spare my life for many more years, I'm going to cause that boy who's driving the plow to know the Scriptures more than you. That's how he was so fervent about it. So what he did was he went underground. He translated the Bible from the Greek, from the Hebrew. He smuggled, you know, copies of the English Bible into England, often hidden in sacks of flour. But he, you know, tragically, he was eventually arrested, he was betrayed, and he was executed for what he had done. But here's the thing. He died thinking that he failed. The movement at that time was so small, the opposition was so massive, he didn't even see the fruit. And yet, the seed he planted, the Word of God in English, spread like wildfire. His translation became the basis for what we know as the King James Version. And today, virtually every English Bible that we have, that you have in your hands, has Tyndale's fingerprints in it. He planted the seed, never saw the harvest, but God did. Because the Word works quietly, powerfully, over time. And that brings it back to us, right? Because we have to understand that Jesus is not just talking about some anonymous farmer who's scattering seed. He's talking about you and me. You and I who carry the Word of God. You and I are called to plant the Word of God. And it's not just me. Not just the pastor or the elders of the church. It's all of us. All of us who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. All of us are word scatterers. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: what seeds are we scattering? Right? Are we making time to plant the Word of God into our own lives? Is it something that we open every day? Has the Bible become, you know, something that we look forward every day to study and to read and to meditate on? Or has the Word of God become just like background noise in our faith? You know, kind of like when you see a feed on your Facebook and it just scrolls it up, right? But the seed can't do anything if the seed is not planted, right? You have to get it into the soil, in the soil of our hearts. And then the next question is, are we planting it in others? If you're a parent, are you planting the seeds in your kids? Are you reading the Bible to them? Are you praying scripture over them? If you're a teacher or a mentor or a friend, are you sharing the Word even when you're not sure if it's landing? Now, I'm not talking about preaching, okay? I'm talking about sharing the Word of God and planting the seed. And some of you, I know, you have this frustration. You're thinking, you know what? I've been doing that for months and nothing is happening. Now, if that's you, take heart. Jesus is telling us through this parable to remind us that growth does not always start where we can see it. But the Word is never wasted. You know, whenever I come and open the Bible and preach the Word of God in this pulpit, I always remember a particular verse from Isaiah 55, verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent." Every time I come and preach the Word of God to you, this is what is in my heart. I know that God is going to use His Word according to His purposes. It will not go back to Him empty and void. But you know what? It's not just for me. It's for you too. If you share the Word of God to someone, to a loved one, to a friend, the seed is always working, even when it is small, even when it looks like it's buried and forgotten. And so the invitation for all of us is this: we have to keep planting. We have to keep scattering the seed. We have to keep reading scriptures to our kids, even when they look distracted. We have to keep sharing the verses to our friends who are struggling. We have to keep soaking it in our own lives, the Word of God, even when it feels, you know, when we're dry. Because the kingdom of God does not start with fireworks. It starts with a seed. You don't have to have control. You don't have really control of the outcome. You're just called to be faithful to sow the Word. It won't come like a crashing bulldozer. It comes quietly, slowly waiting to break open. It might feel small. It might even feel weak. But when you share the word, you're planting seeds of the kingdom. That seed always knows what to do if we just plant it. Amen. So that's the first thing that Jesus tells us. He talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about kingdom of God as if somebody is just sowing seeds. But the idea and the call there is for us to plant the seeds. And that leads us to the second point of Jesus, because he's not done. He says to us, the seed is planted, but then something unexpected begins to happen. And here's the second thing you and I must remember when it comes to the kingdom of God, is that we are to trust that there is growth even when we don't see anything happening. Right? We are to believe that something is really happening even if we don't see it. Look at verse 27. He continues. He says, he, referring to the sower, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You see the picture? What happens after the sower scatters the seed? What does the farmer do? He goes to bed. He wakes up. He eats. He works. He lives his life. Then he goes to bed again. And without struggling, without strategizing, without striving, without even understanding, the seed grows. That's what Jesus says. In fact, in verse 27, he says, even when he knows not how. I love that little phrase there. It reminds me of how little control we actually have when it comes to the life of the kingdom. And then there's something even more fascinating in verse 28. Jesus says, the earth produces by itself. Now that phrase, by itself, in the Greek is the word autos, where we get the word automatic. And one of the meanings of that word is on its own accord. So it means something just happens on its own. Nothing, no intervention at all. And once again, Jesus hints for us that here's the process that is happening. Once the seed is sown, once it is in the soil, God takes over. God takes over the process. It means that the seed has been designed to do something without human effort. That once the word is planted, God will initiate the growth process. It runs without our manipulation. It is organic. It's, in a way, it's mysterious, right? But it is spirit-driven. We can water, we can cultivate, but we cannot manufacture the life of the kingdom. And the reason why I say that is this, because, you know, we all love control, don't we? Right? Even when it comes to spiritual things, we want to measure progress. We want people to change now, right? We want this person to win in the elections because he's a Christian and we think he can do something. We want fruit on demand, as if we're watching Netflix. But here, Jesus reminds us, no, kingdom is not a machine. It's not a business model. It's not a political process. It's a living thing, and it grows in God's timetable and not ours. Now, let's be honest. That can actually be frustrating, isn't it? Especially if you have a child, a wayward child. And that child, no matter how you share the word of God to them, you know, they're just in here, out there. Or maybe a friend, or maybe a loved one. And no matter what you say to them, it's as if it doesn't have any effect, right? Especially because we live in a culture of speed. We want fast. 5G, right? 4G pa ka, kaluoy ni mo. 5G na ko, right? We want 2 days Shopee delivery, not 1 week. We want 30-minute transformations. But God is not in a hurry. He's never been in a hurry. Look again at that verse, in verse 28. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. What what does that tell us? It tells us there's a process, right? There are stages in the growth. If you rush it, you might ruin it. If you pick the fruit too early, you don't get the fruit, you know, the full flavor. You might even spoil it, right? Now, let me just clarify this. This is not about being passive, huh? This is about being trusting in our God. This is not about, you know, sitting down and just saying, okay, wala na, okay, I have, you know. It's not about that. It's about trusting God. Because we are obsessed with control. We think that if we lead better, if we plan smarter, if we hustle harder, we can make the kingdom grow. And that's how many of us have been taught to operate, right? Even in our spiritual lives, we check ourselves as if we're having performance reviews. Or we check others that way. Are you doing enough? Are you leading enough? Are you growing fast enough, right? Doesn't run on those metrics. You know, modern spirituality tells us, you know, do more, lead more, fix more. And, you know, we're constantly being told that responsibility for transformation is on our shoulders. But Jesus tells us something very different. He says what? The farmer goes to sleep. The farmer rests. He doesn't force the growth. He simply makes space for it. The kingdom of God invites us into that same posture. Not laziness, but to trust God. Not apathy, but to be attentive. It's the kind of rest that only comes when you know you are not in charge of the outcome. I say that again. The kind of rest that only comes when you know you're not in charge of the outcome. Some of us need to hear that. Amen? Maybe you're tired because you've been trying to change the people around you. You're desperately trying to see the fruit in them or even in your own heart. You are frustrated because it's taking too long. It's too quiet. Nothing's happening. This is what Jesus is saying to you. Go to sleep. Wake up, repeat. The seed knows what to do. The seed does not need our stress. It needs our surrender. Amen. If you are a parent, sowing the word into your kids, keep sowing. You don't have to manipulate their growth. God is already working. If you're a small group leader or you're a discipler and you're discouraged and you see things are not happening, stay faithful, right? The seed may be sprouting deep in the dark. You never know. If you're struggling with sin or doubt and wondering if anything is actually going to happen in your own life, don't give up. God's word, just go to the word of God. Don't surrender. God has not stopped working. It just takes time. Jesus says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. The kingdom grows slowly even when we don't see it, quietly, automatically, but never accidentally. God is doing something. And the invitation is for us to let go of control. We are to rest in the reality that God is at work even when we know not how, right? It's not built on our hustle. It's grown by the Spirit of God through His Word in His time. But here's the thing. We have to plant. Amen? We are called to sow the seed. And then, we are also called to let God do the growing. Amen? Got that? So, that brings us to a third thing about this parable. Another image that Jesus gives to us is the image of a seed. But this one, in this particular part of the parable, he tells us how far God's work can go, even when it starts out small. So when it comes to the kingdom of God, here's the third thing that Jesus wants us to remember, is that you might not see the impact, but the result is bigger than you think. You might not see something happening, but something is happening, and it's not what you think. Okay, look at verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare? It begins with a question, right? With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So just imagine Jesus, you know, just finishing this string of kingdom parables. And almost like with a grin, he begins this question, what's the kingdom like, right? What picture can I give you? And then what does he do? He picks up the picture of the mustard seed, right? Now, if you're trying to start a movement that's going to change the world, I don't think mustard seed would make your top 10 metaphors. Because it's tiny, look at it. I know some people in the morning service came and had a look. You can't see it here, actually. It's tiny, it's insignificant, it's easy to miss, right? Nobody carries around a mustard seed jewelry or talks about mustard seeds on IG, right? But Jesus tells us that's how my kingdom works. But here's the thing, in this last parable, what Jesus does beautifully is he gives us a contrast. A contrast that he intentionally sets it up. In verse 31 and 32, he says that the mustard seed is what? The smallest of all the seeds on the earth. It's very small, he says. And then, but, he describes how it can grow into something that's what? Larger than all the garden plants. He's saying from this small little seed, right? This small seed can become the greatest. The hidden becomes visible. The overlooked becomes a home for others. That's how the word works. When planted, it doesn't look much. A Bible verse that's remembered. Maybe a whispered prayer when hope is low. A quiet act of obedience that nobody sees. But when God gets involved, when His Spirit begins to grow the word in the soil of the willing heart, something's gonna happen. You know, N.T. Wright tells us that the people of Jesus' day expected that the kingdom of God would come with power and spectacle. That there's gonna be armies and revolutions and thunder from heaven. But here comes Jesus. He gives them a seed. And he tells them, and he tells us that God's kingdom does not always start in the palaces or in platforms. It often starts in obscurity. In obscurity. And still today we know that the kingdom comes through small beginnings. Through seed-sized act of faithfulness. You know, sometimes I really think a lot of us, you know, we're tempted to despise the small things, don't we? Right? We're thinking, gamaya ramon ana, sometimes we're just saying, it doesn't matter, right? For example, we wonder if, you know, our obedience is doing anything at all. Or we share our testimony to a friend and it kind of falls flat. Or maybe you lead a small group and you feel like, you know, nothing is happening, nobody's growing. Or you start reading the Bible to your kids and they're more interested in the snacks, right? And you're wondering, you know, does this matter at all? And Jesus reminds us today, yes, it matters. The kingdom of God is meant to start small. But you have no idea what it can become. That's what he's telling us. It's not for you. It's not your problem, right? What it can become. Some of you know the story of William Carey. He's known as the father of modern missions. He was once ridiculed. He told the leaders of his church that his dream was to take the gospel to India. And someone in the church told him, you know, young man, you better sit down. When God chooses to save the heathen, he will do it without your help. But you know what? William Carey, he planted the seed anyway. He went. He worked. He translated the Bible into multiple languages. He started schools and churches. And he died in seeming obscurity. But you know what? Now, hundreds of years later, the mustard seed, the mustard tree of the gospel, presence in India still bears fruit. From mustard seeds come mustard trees. And you know, we have some Indian friends who come to our church. Probably you are the result, or you are a result of the work of William Carey. And Jesus says in verse 32 that the branches of this tree grow wide enough that even the birds come and make their nests in the shade. Right? That's not just imagery here. In the Old Testament, birds nesting in trees was a metaphor for nations of the world finding shelter in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is really hinting at this point in time of something that's global. He's talking about something that's expansive, something that's missional. That the word planted in the soil of one heart can eventually become a refuge for many others. And so the reminder for us is this: let's be faithful with the seed and trust God with the result. That means keep sowing, keep planting, keep speaking the truth, even when it feels like no one is listening. Keep sharing to your unsaved loved ones, even when you know that they might not want to listen. Keep showing up for your kids, for your students, for your spouse, for your small group. Keep being that person who carries grace in hard places, living the word, even when it looks like nobody or nothing is changing. You may not see it right away. You may never see it. Maybe you may never see the full scope of the results in your own lifetime. We don't know. But the seed is doing something underground. The kingdom is not ours to build. It is ours to participate in. Amen. That's the burden-lifting part of this parable. You're not responsible for the size of the tree. You're just called to be a faithful farmer. Right? Isn't that a relief? No need to hustle. No need to manufacture spiritual results. You don't have to produce, you know, the kingdom with your own effort and cleverness. It's God who gives the growth. All we have to do is what? Plant the seed. You know, as a pastor, early in my pastorate, I loved to study church growth. And any pastor, I believe, you know, if a pastor tells you, I don't believe in that, he's lying. Every pastor, once or twice in their life, will always think about how can I grow the church so that many people will come to church. So what I did was I read a lot of books on church growth. I watched a lot of videos about churches, you know, breaking 200, breaking 500. I've shared it with our elders. We talked about it. And, you know, there were many insights from these so-called experts. And we tried some of them. Some of them worked. Some of them did not work. But here's the thing that I learned. Through the years, God has ways of really humbling us. Because, you know, he would show us time and time again that the growth of the church had nothing to do with us. Time and time again, God would remind me that it's not what is on the outside that matters. You know, we can say, we have a church, we have LED wall, you know, on the screen. Or we have three services, hambugiro kayo. Or we are in international congregation, we have people from... You know what? All of those things do not matter. When we face our Heavenly Father, God, he will not tell us, he will not ask us, how much have you grown the church? He will always ask us, how faithful have you been? Remember that parable? Well done, good and faithful servant. He talks to that person who has 5 talents. He talks to that person who has 2 talents, who has grown it into 2 talents, the 5 person who has grown it into 5 talents, right? And he tells them the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. He didn't say, you know, you with the 5 talents, why did you not grow it into 10 more talents? Or you with the 2 talents, why did you not grow it into 5 more? That's not the issue. The issue is always what? Faithfulness. What matters is faithfulness. Faithfulness in the mission. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 7. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the growth. So neither he who plants, that's Paul, nor he who waters, that's Apollos, neither of them is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Let's take a deep breath. Let's rest in that reality. The outcome of our obedience is in the hands of God. Our job is simply to sow the seed, to trust God in what He will do with that. You might be the only one, you might only have one conversation with someone about Jesus. That might be your mustard seed. You might start a small Bible study with 2 people. That might be your mustard seed. You might invite some person, a friend, to have coffee and you talk about, spiritual things. That might be your mustard seed. You might write somebody an encouragement card, or you might forgive a person. You might serve in a hidden ministry where no one says thank you. That might be your mustard seed. You might plant the seed somewhere and you don't even know. But you know what? The seeds matter. They grow because the kingdom works that way. And just think about this. Jesus himself was the mustard seed, wasn't he? He did not grow up in a palace. He was born in obscurity to a very poor family. Right? He was dismissed by the world. He was even betrayed by his friends. But through his death and his resurrection, the kingdom broke in. And today, people, you and me, we find rest in him, in his shade. So what does that mustard seed faith look like for you today? It might be taking the next step of obedience when no one is watching. It might be sticking with somebody who's struggling and just being an encouragement and sharing the word to them. It might be you continue to lead with love even when you're exhausted or when things are, you feel that, it's not working. Whatever it is, remember, that seed is never too small for God. So keep sowing, keep trusting, and someday, perhaps in ways you don't expect, God will take that small thing, that small mustard seed, and grow it into something far beyond your reach. Because that's what the kingdom of God is like. Plant the seed, expect growth, and then you don't know how big that can be. You leave it to God, right? And today's study, if you notice, I was talking, balik-balik akong storya. It's just the same theme in different ways, right? But today's study is really a reminder not to lose sight of the mission. Today's study reminds us that we are to focus on the call that all of us have been given. Remember the scriptures, Jesus calls us to what? To go and make disciples. That is our mission. When we go and make disciples, we are planting the word of God in the hearts of people. We just had election, right? And depending on who you supported, you might be feeling excited or disheartened. I had somebody came, was here this morning, and he told me he was part of the campaign of one of the mayors who won. And he was very happy. If you might be happy, you might be sad, you might feel like things are moving in the right direction, you might feel that they're, taking the wrong turn, because that's what politics is, isn't it? It sways your heart. It will fill your news feeds. It will dominate your emotions. But Jesus in this parable invites us not to be overly concerned about earthly kingdoms. Instead, he calls us to focus, to embrace our attention on his kingdom, on his mission. And what does that look like? The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So simple, unspectacular, unnoticed by the media. While the kingdom of this world rises and falls, God's kingdom is quietly growing. It doesn't rely on ballots or power plays. It's not built in palaces or debated in courtrooms. It grows in the hidden places where the word is planted in open hearts and watered with trust. So that means, Christian, if you're a Christian today, if you're a person who says, I have given my life to Jesus, that means your hope and my hope is not chained to the elections. Amen? Our identity is not rooted in our political candidates. And our mission did not begin last week and ended last week. The kingdom of God transcends every administration, every dynasty, every political party. It's not shaken by a loss nor is it crowned by a win. It actually begins in obscurity, grows without spectacle, ends with surprising scope. So whether today you're celebrating or grieving, let your heart rest in the fact that the word is the seed, the kingdom is the result, that is our mission. God is still growing something. Amen? No government can stop it. No policy can reverse it. No one can vote it out. And your job and my job is to keep sowing, keep planting the word in our homes, to keep speaking truth with grace in our circles, to keep living faithfully in our corners of the world. And we trust that God is doing something. It might be invisible now, but he is doing something. One day, by his grace, he might even show us the results. And it will be bigger than any movement this world has ever known. So let's take heart. Amen? Let's not be distracted. Let's go and sow the seed. Let's plant the word of God. Let's wait in faith. And let's trust the God who brings the harvest. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our midst and your Holy Spirit working in us and through us. Lord, we confess, many times we are disheartened. Many times we take a look at your word and don't think of it much. Today, you remind us that your word is powerful, not only in the lives of others, but also in our lives. It has the power to transform us, to change us, to mold us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we give praise to you, Lord, for the mandate that you have given to us. We'll be really sensitive to the opportunities that you allow us to come our way, so that we will always plant the seed and we will just allow you to cause the growth. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.